She did not move. For a long time he crossed and recrossed the vast cave. He moved as if he sought something, looking behind the lacy cataracts of stone, studying the several corridors that led out of the undertomb, yet not entering them. And still the priestess of the tombs stood motionless in the black angle of the passage, waiting. What was hardest for her to think, perhaps, was that she was looking at a stranger. She had very seldom seen a stranger. It seemed to her that this must be one of the wardens. No, one of the men from over the wall, a goatherd or guard, a slave of the place. And he had come to see the secrets of the Nameless Ones, maybe to steal something from the tombs. To steal something. To rob the dark powers. Sacrilege. The word came slowly into Arha's mind. This was a man, and no man's foot must ever touch the soil of the tombs, the holy place. Yet he had come here into the hollow place that was the heart of the tombs. He had entered in. He had made light where light was forbidden, where it had never been since world's beginning. Why did the Nameless Ones not strike him down? He was standing now, looking down at the rocky floor, which was cut and troubled. One could see that it had been opened and reclosed. The sour, sterile clods dug up for the graves had not all been stamped down again. Her masters had eaten those three. Why did they not eat this one? What were they waiting for? For their hands to act? For their tongue to speak? Go! Go! Be gone! She screamed all at once at the top of her voice. Great echoes shrilled and boomed across the cavern, seeming to blur the dark, startled face that turned towards her, and, for one moment, across the shaken splendor of the cavern, saw her. Then the light was gone, all splendor gone, blind dark, and silence. Now she could think again. She was released from the spell of light. He must have come in by the red rock door, the prisoner's door, so he would try to escape by it. Light and silent as the soft-winged owls, she ran the half-circuit of the cavern to the low tunnel that led to the door which opened only inwards. She stooped there at the entrance of the tunnel. There was no draft of wind from outside. He had not left the door fixed open behind him. It was shut. And if he was in the tunnel, he was trapped there. But he was not in the tunnel. She was sure of it. So close, in that cramped place, she would have heard his breath, felt the warmth and pulse of his life itself. There was no one in the tunnel. She stood erect and listened. Where had he gone? The darkness pressed like a bandage on her eyes. To have seen the undertomb confused her. She was bewildered. She had known it only as a region defined by hearing, by hand's touch, by drifts of cool air in the dark, a vastness, a mystery never to be seen. She had seen it, and the mystery had given place, not to horror, but to beauty, a mystery deeper even than that of the dark. She went slowly forward now, unsure. She felt her way to the left, to the second passageway, the one that led into the labyrinth. There she paused and listened. Her ears told her no more than her eyes, but as she stood with one hand on either side of the rock archway, she felt a faint, obscure vibration in the rock, and on the chill, stale air was the trace of a scent that did not belong there. The smell of the wild sage that grew on the desert hills, overhead, under the open sky. Slow and quiet, she moved down the corridor, following her nose. After perhaps 100 paces, she heard him. He was almost as silent as she, but he was not so sure-footed in the dark. She heard a slight scuffle, as if he had stumbled on the uneven floor and recovered himself at once. Nothing else. She waited a while, and then went slowly on, touching her right-hand fingertips very lightly to the wall. At last a rounded bar of metal came under them. There she stopped, and felt up the strip of iron until, almost as high as she could reach, she touched a projecting